So my title is Lessons, Learning Lessons from Elijah. And there are three that I want us to kind of point to you, and there are many more, I'm sure. But so we're thinking about Elijah. Obviously, he was a man of God. He was gifted by God. And I love his spiritual ears and eyes for the Lord. I thought about through even just this lesson, that if he were, the New Testament was, don't you think he had the word of knowledge? Because he saw things and heard things that others didn't hear and see. And in the New Testament, that's what we call the gift of the word of knowledge. So we can learn lessons from him, because that's what the scripture says. In the New Testament, we read the Old Testament and gain understanding and application from these lessons. So a little bit of background. When the king of Syria and Armenia is today, is where this army was located. So they realized, when it was pointed out to them, that Elisha was the key to them gaining victory over Israel, because Elisha told, you know, he knew where they were and what they were doing, so they were unsuccessful in their attempts to destroy. So when I was thinking about that king, you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to cancel Elisha. Today, they want to cancel Christians. So that's canceling is not new, I guess, because they were trying to get rid of him. So when they learned that he was in Dothan, they gathered this huge army of horses and chariots. And so they surrounded the city where Elisha and his servant were. When you are surrounded by the enemy, when you face a crisis, what do you see? Are you like the servant? And you see only with your natural eyes, your physical eyes, or you try to be a little bit more like Elisha, where he saw God in the situation. He saw God as bigger than the army. He had spiritual eyes. He had that perspective of eternity, if you will. And so what a difference between the two when they found out that they were, when they woke up that morning and discovered that they were surrounded by the enemy. You know, when we go to the doctor for a physical eye exam, they find all kinds of things wrong with our vision. Sometimes, not always, but for me, a few years ago, they found cataracts. Of course, they were starting to develop, so which means I have a clouded vision. They also discover nearsightedness and farsightedness. And so the perception there, and of course in the aging factor, you're probably not going to admit that, but there's such a thing as floaters. I had an older sister in the Lord tell me she's about 10 years older, and she said, I get so sick of these floaters. And I said, what are floaters? Never heard such a thing. Well, when you get older, you'll get them, and you get used to them. You don't even realize they're there. So anyway, so they've got these different diagnoses. And of course, the worst thing is spiritual blindness, right? But there's hope for spiritual blindness. Pray, just like Elijah did, for God to open your eyes. So let's jump in at 2 Kings 6, and we're going to look at verses 14 and through about 16 or 17. And I'm going to put my reader. I had cataract surgery. No, I didn't have that. I had cataract surgery. And everybody else got 20/20 after, not I. So I do have to get my readers to read my Bible. So let's look at, and we've already talked about the army surrounding Elisha. And so, therefore, he sent, this is the king, not the king of Israel, but the king of Syria, sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So Elisha answered, "Do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, and he said, "Lord, I pray, open the eyes, his eyes rather, that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And we'll stop there. So, in bringing application and a lesson, obviously Elisha was not fearful. He was not dismayed like the young servant. Why? Because he was a man of faith. He believed God. He trusted God. He had had a track record with the Lord. He knew God's presence. He knew God's power. He knew God's protection from past experiences, and he knew God's promises. Today, we hope that you also know God's promises, his presence, his power, and his ability to overrule every situation. Our God is sovereign. Our God is the supreme God, and he is in the affairs of man. He is, providence. Providence is part of what God does. Sometimes he's quiet in the background, but he's working. I love the chorus, he's always working. He never stops working. So in your situation, what do you see? Do you see like the servant? He saw again with only his natural eyesight. So he cried, "Alas, what should we do?" He was panicked. He needed his spiritual eyes to be open to see the situation in light of the supernatural. That's what kind of vision I need, and I trust you need it too, especially in the day in which we live. So when you're surrounded by troublesome situations, when a trial shows up on your doorstep or an enemy attacks you by surprise, what do you see and how do you feel? Because when I encounter a big, scary, impossible problem, I know what I do. I usually have a bit of panic. I am afraid, and I like the servant. But when we stop and think about, God is with me. God is bigger than any problem I could ever have. God sees, God knows, and God's here. And that's basically what Elisha did. So if we're limited with our vision, we need our eyes to be open. We sang that this morning in that chorus. So what happens usually for me, and I'm assuming I'm like most people, maybe it doesn't do this, but it takes the time to process the situation and what I'm faced with, and that's okay. But how quickly do I go to Lord to process it? To me, that's the key. I want to quickly go to the Lord, pray and talk to him about the situation. And then when I do that, the quicker my perspective changes. So the sooner we open our spiritual eyes, the sooner our perspective changes. So what we do, I told you I was going to tell you about little Liv. Liv is 2, and she was born with spina bifida, serious case of spina bifida. She had surgery. She's got a huge scar on her, a little above her tailbone. And so she also had hydrocephalus. So she's got a shunt in her brain, and you can see the little tube that kind of runs behind her ear down into, her body and her chest. And so the fluid is continually draining. She is the sweetest disposition you've ever met. She's an adorable little thing. But her legs her feet are crooked, let's put it that way. I don't know exactly I'm not medical. But anyway, little Liv is a special needs child, and she does not, she crawls. She's about, to, she probably has the strongest torso of any little girl I've ever known, because she learned to crawl by army crawling. So she's built her upper body, and I can't pick her up from the floor because she weighs probably 30 pounds, but it's all solid, not fat at all. She drags her little legs. So recently they put her in cast. There was some surgery on her, at least one foot, and they put both legs in these little casts. Of course, she took a picture of her in her pink cast. You know, they put plastic over. So anyway, that's the process. But when I look at Liv, I have to keep looking at her with spiritual eyes to see what God is going to do and what he is doing in her life. But it's so easy to look at her in the natural and just see her handicap. And right now, she's still not talking. She's very sharp. Danae taught her some sign, so she signs a few words here and there. And she knows everybody. You know, you mention the name or whatever. So she's very sharp, but we just don't know what her future holds. So I need spiritual eyes to see God in the situation. And you may have a financial situation. You may have a relational issue with a family member. You may have more physical issues. Those are biggies. Those are things that we all have. What can we learn from Elisha? Well, Elisha, again, what he saw was he saw heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts armies surrounding them. He saw angels surrounding them, guarding them, protecting them, defending them. And you have the same. There are angels around you. At least the scriptures tell us that there's an angel watching over us. I am going to read you a little devotional that was in my, this morning I brought a few little parts of my devotionals with me. And this is from ICR. Is it ICR or CRI? I get those two mixed up. But it's the Research Institute. And the title of it is The Unseen Angels. He says, God has created innumerable company of angels. That's according to Hebrews 12:27. And there are many references to them from the Old and the New Testament. But we have few living men or women who've ever actually seen real heavenly angels. Nevertheless, they are there. Furthermore, they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation, excuse me. And that's Hebrews 1:14. So God has given them charge over us. They are there with us. And so that's what Elijah saw, but in the natural, and not just believing, he saw that horses and chariots of fire. You notice the others had horses and chariots. I don't know what a chariot of fire looks like. Anybody ever seen a chariot of fire? Tell us about it. Anyway, but fire is usually, as we know, is a picture, an emblem that's connected with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, even in the upper room. Remember, the tongues as of fire came on the people. So it's a symbol of God's power in our lives. So he's there declaring that God is with us, that God is for us. He says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And again, just this morning, I thought about years ago, my husband passed away in 1997. And so, as you know, then I've been a widow for a very long time. But Donna Nunes had became a widow about 2 months after I, and she's much younger. She's actually my daughter's age. And so she was raising boys. So we got together. She encouraged me to start a widow's group. And actually, she started it. I said, I'll support you. I was kind of on overload starting to work full time. Anyway, so we started this little widow's group, and we met in someone's home. I can't even remember where we first started. She hosted it sometimes. But all that to say, one night when we had it, a young woman came, and she was down from San Clemente. She'd heard about our little group. She was from San Clemente, San Juan Capistrano or something. It was a long way, and it was at night. And her husband suddenly passed away, and she had at least two kids. I think she had three. I do not even remember her name. That was probably 1998. So anyway, she came one night, and she said, I'm adjusting to my husband's passing. It's not easy. But she said, I grieve for my kids. She had a daughter that was probably at that time, you know, like she'd be definitely in her 20s now or 30s. Anyway, she was six. And she was so frightened. This little daughter was hers, was so frightened. They lived in a big two-story house down somewhere in South County. So anyway, she was talking about her daughter, how frightened she was. So she said, we'd just been praying for her. that God would, you know, comfort her and free her up from her fear. The next time we met, you know, might have been a week or two, doesn't matter. When we met, she said, "You won't believe what happened." She said, one night after I just put my daughter to bed and the other, she said she crawled out to her mom and said, "Mommy, Mommy, you've got to come here. You've got to see this." And so her mom rushed in. She's not sure what was going on. And the little girl said, she said, "Mommy, look out the window." They had a big window apparently in the hall or something where this little girl could see. And she said, "Mommy, see the angels? Do you see the angels?" And her mom did not see the angels. But she said, "Well, tell me about them." And she says, "Mom, they're dressed in white, and their angel, the wings are as big as the windows, and they're surrounding. I just see so many of them." What an astounding experience for God to comfort that little girl. She said, "I'm not afraid anymore. Angels are around us. God sent his angels." Now, what a staggering, delightful, beautiful story that is. And I'm so glad I remembered it. Hallelujah. Anyway, so, but God reminds us in Psalm 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Goes further down in 14 and 15, and God's promise says, "He shall call upon me," and put your name there. "Ellie shall call on me. Cynthia shall call on me. And I will answer her." I changed the him, the pronoun, to her. "I will set her on high because she has known my name. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver her and honor her." And again, you can write your name over 14 and 15 of Psalm 91. Because God is that personal. What he did for Elijah, what he did for his servant, he wants to do for you. Our God is our sovereign, protector, our shield, our defender. And Peter tells believers, the Lord knows how to deliver his own. It is also written, Paul wrote, "If God is for us, who can be against us? Almighty God, the creator who spoke everything into existence." So let's pray for our own vision, and that's what we sang earlier. Let's put on the Lord's corrective lenses. When I go to the doctor, I get corrective lenses almost every year. God wants to give us corrective lenses that we can see from Elisha's example. Another spiritual example that I like from Elisha is his concern for his servant. That's number two. Elisha had concern for his servant when he realized that his servant could not see, but was only seeing in the natural. He prayed for his friend, to his eyes to be opened. He wanted his servant to see like he saw, that he wanted him to have, rather than a worldview, a God view of what was going on. He wanted spiritual lenses for his servant. Interesting, Elisha didn't try to fix his servant. He prayed for his servant that God would fix him. When you pray for others, I'm asking myself, I want to step in and I want to try to fix them, don't you? But God, it's better to pray that God would fix the needs that that other person has, or their short-sightedness, or whatever it might be. So he prayed for God to open his eyes, and of course, the miracle of God, he opened his eyes. And once his eyes were opened, obviously, it changed the perspective, and the servant was no longer afraid. His panic was gone, and faith replaced his fear. What a difference it makes when we factor the Lord into a situation. It brought peace and it brought sight. I want to be like Elijah and be sensitive to those around me. When I notice that they have a need, I want to pray for it. I want them to experience the growth and the blessing it is to know Jesus, to know his presence, and to be able to see Jesus in the larger problems. Then thirdly, notice when the situation changed and actually Elisha encountered the army, the enemy army, again, Elisha prayed that now that the enemy would be blinded, so he asked God to temporarily blind the eyes of the enemies, which obviously he did, God did. So then he redirected the enemy and led them into Israel's territory in Samaria because they were blind. God had blinded supernaturally. God had blinded miraculously their eyes. So he now was the leader, and he led them back to Samaria, their own territory, Israel's territory. And then when they got there, he prayed for the enemy army's eyes to be restored, that they could once again see. Our Almighty God did that. Amazing. What a God we have. So we can ask God for big things too. I don't know that we can ask God to blind all of the radicals that are in the world today. But you know what? I love the fact that when their eyes were opened, now the tables had turned. They were now the enemy. They were now the prisoners, that's the wrong word. They were vulnerable and actually in potential harm's way, facing death. So instead of the enemy now being in charge, they were surrounded, they were captured, they were the prisoners. But look at, Isaiah. No, we're not talking about Isaiah, Glenda. We're talking about Elisha. And Elisha left us another beautiful role model through verse 22. Because listen to Elisha's response when the king of Israel thought this was his chance to do away with the enemy. Shall I kill them? And what did Elisha say in verse 22? From This is the New Living. Of course not. Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home safely. Wow, what a switch. They even made a great feast for them. Like the New Testament said, feed your enemy, do good to them. So I love that. What an example for me. They were his enemies, and yet he extended mercy to them. So how do I feel about my enemies? What should I do? In certain situations, again, I should follow the lesson that I learned from Elisha. He prayed for them, and he redirected them, and he did good to them. So perhaps this is, again, another illustration for me. Do I love my enemy enough to pray for them? Do I show mercy? Do I do good to them? By following Elisha's example, I came up with this thought concerning my enemy. My prayer might be something like this, kind of based a little bit on what happened here. Lord, put blindness over the enemy's plans. Redirect and divert their plots and stop their potential attacks and destruction. Give them an opportunity to repent and save their souls. I want to follow Elisha's example. I want to view life and its hardships and its dangers by looking through the corrected spiritual eyewear to gain and maintain an eternal perspective. David Jeremiah said this, always factor God into life's troubles and complexities. Don't panic with the times. Rather, stand amazed at God's providential omnipotence. I want to care enough about those around me to pray for them, when I observe their needs, to be sensitive to both spiritual and practical needs, to stop and pray for them. Then I want to handle my enemies wisely, be merciful, pray for them with a desire to see them saved and transformed. Finally, I want to always remember to call on the Lord of Heaven's armies to open my eyes to the spiritual realities rather than vision, but rather to see the invisible. and recognize that he is bigger and stronger than, more powerful than, the enemy's armies. Let's pray. Father God, help myself and each one of this in this room today to put on your corrective lenses, your prescription for every day as I encounter any surprise attacks from the enemy, those things that come against me, the problems that seem insurmountable and overwhelming. Remind me that Jesus has won the battle and I stand in his victory, that he surrounds me with his presence and his powers and his angels. Fill me with your love to be more sensitive to those around me, both friends and enemies, and to learn and to grow, to intercede, and to factor you into every situation that I face. In Jesus' name, amen.